This afternoon, with the Lord's help, just briefly talk about two relationships. Our brother in his message this afternoon spoke about the husband and the wife, the father and the child. And just these last few days, traveling through the state of Oregon, I was reminded of several other relationships that we read about in the Word of God. A few nights ago, we stayed in the Little Sister of Sisters, Oregon. The next day, we drove through another town in the same state, and that town was called Brothers. This is the first time I've driven through a state and driven through two towns or cities with those names. I'm a geography teacher by profession and often note different and unusual names. But I thought as we drove through those towns of some scriptural examples or some examples in scripture that we might perhaps look at for a few moments with profit. And one of the first instances that I would like to read about this afternoon is found. I'm going to look at two sets of sisters and two sets of brothers. The first mention, I believe, of the first set that I'm going to refer to is in the book of Numbers in chapter 26. And one of the sisters that I am going to refer to is a young lady by the name of Noah. Yes, a young lady by the name of Noah. Not the Noah that is mentioned in the book of Genesis, but this reference is in Numbers chapter 26 and verse 33. We're going to read about a man who had a very different name. I teach school in a district where one-third of our students are from India and Pakistan. And it's always a challenge for me at the beginning of the year to learn unusual names. But here we have a man mentioned in verse 33. It says, "In Zelophehad, the son of Hefer had no sons but daughters." Okay. My wife and I are in the same category. We have three children, three daughters. In September of 1969, our first daughter, Tara, was born. In 1970, our second daughter, Kirsten, was born. And I thought about Kirsten's birth this morning as our brother Dan was speaking in Sunday school. In the morning, after my wife delivered the baby, the doctor came in and everything appeared to be fine. But then in the afternoon, the doctor came in to speak to both of us and said, "Your daughter has a 50-50 chance to live." She had something called hyaline membrane disease. My wife and I were cast before the Lord. And we claimed Hannah's prayer for this child, I prayed. And the Lord delivered and restored her to full health and strength. Well, when Kirsten was born, there was a new relationship in the family. Tara, who had been born in September of 1969, now had a sister. Then in a year and a half later, both Tara and Kirsten had another sister, Tekla. And so, I can relate to Zelophehad. He had no sons, but daughters. And it mentions these daughters here in this verse 33, and I'll try to be brief. Mahla, Noah, Hogla, Milcah, and Tirzah. And we read later that because there was no male child, they asked for an inheritance. They asked for an inheritance. And to the child of God, a godly Israelite, an inheritance was important. We think in the book of Joshua of Caleb giving his daughter to Othniel, and we think of her asking for those two springs of water. She valued that. And what would those springs of water bring before us? I believe the Word of God. We think of Naboth, who had a vineyard. And we think of a king and his wife who had evil intentions, who wanted that vineyard, and would even go to the extent of murdering Naboth. Naboth was offered money for that inheritance, but he valued that inheritance. How much do we value the inheritance that we have today? That is a searching question. How much do we value that inheritance? We'll go on quickly to 2 Samuel chapter 10. And we're going to read about a brother here. And a little later on, several chapters later, we will read about his brother. 2 Samuel chapter 10. In this chapter, we read about David's messengers being abused by a man by the name of Hanan. And we read elsewhere that he was the son of Nahash, an Ammonite. And we see that he mistreated the servants of David. And it says in verse 4, he took David's servants and shaved off the one half of their beards and cut off their garments in the middle, even to their buttocks, and sent them away. What shame! We read in 1 Samuel chapter 25 of another man, Nabal. David sent his servants to Nabal and said, "Greet them in my name of peace." We read that Nabal was a churlish man and didn't offer any comfort or help to David. But we read later that his wife Abigail did. Let's go on further. I know our time is going on to the 17th chapter. We're going to read about, and I believe that the individual that we're reading about here was a brother of Hanan. In verse 27 of chapter 17 of 2 Samuel, It says, "And it came to pass when David was come to Mahanaim, that Shobai, the son of Naash of Rabbah, of the children of Ammon, and Machir, the son of Amiel of Lodabar, and Barzillai the Gileadite of Rogelium. They brought beds and basins and earthen vessels and wheat and barley and flour and parched corn and beans and lentils and parched pulse and honey and butter and sheep and cheese of kine." Who did they bring that to? It says, "For David and for the people that were with him." Well, I believe that this individual that's mentioned here, probably a biological brother of Hanan who abused David, now is showing kindness to David. God's beloved, the man of God's choice. In the world today, many make the statement that people behave the way they do because they're the products of their environment. Well, we could go on for quite a length this afternoon and talk about various individuals. We could talk about Cain and Abel, both raised in the same household. We could talk about Jacob and Esau, both raised in the same household. But man is a responsible being, is he not? And responsible for his own actions. And so there are choices. Choices for good and choices for evil. Well, let's now just go on to the New Testament to look briefly at a set of sisters and a set of brothers. First, we'll look at a set of brothers in the first chapter of John. Verse 40, "One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother." Now, Simon heard the Lord Jesus. Was he content in keeping that joy and that good news to himself? No. We think of those leprous men outside of the camp in Samaria. When they had seen that the army had fled, it says, "We do not well." And so they realized that they had a responsibility to go back into the city and declare that wonderful news. And so what we see here is personal evangelism. And I believe in this day, in the 21st century, the Lord is working mightily in connection with personal evangelism. Just recently, I read a biography of George Whitefield, who lived in the days of Charles and John Wesley. And often he would preach three times a day out in the fields to as many as 20 or 30,000 people that came together to hear the Word of God. And I heard a very striking thing a few days ago. A brother in the Mount Tabor Assembly was relating a fact to me about George Wesley. He said, on one occasion when George Wesley preached, Benjamin Franklin of the United States was in the audience. And Benjamin Franklin had a curious mind. Not that he necessarily wanted to hear what George Whitefield had to say. But he was curious as to how far George Whitefield's voice projected. So on the one or two occasions that George Whitefield preached when Benjamin Franklin was in his presence, Franklin paced off a distance, and then he calculated the number of people that were under the sound of his voice, and he calculated it was about 30,000 people that could hear George Whitefield preaching. And that's a remarkable thing. But nowhere do we read that Benjamin Franklin appropriated or accepted the gospel, accepted the message that was preached. He had a curiosity, yes, but we don't read that that was mixed with faith. But here we have Simon Peter's brother, and verse 41, it says, he first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, we have found the Messiah, who is being interpreted the Christ. Many years ago, my Uncle Guilford, perhaps known to some, had a little rhyme or some rhyming words concerning personal evangelism. It goes something like this. If each one, that is W-O-N and O-N-E, if each one, how many one-ones would be one for Christ? We'll repeat that again. If each one, how many one-ones would be one for Christ? Let's turn over now a few pages in the Gospel of John. We're all familiar with that household in Bethany, a place where the Lord Jesus was given a place. It mentions in the 11th chapter, now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. Well, I believe that we're well acquainted with this instance that's brought before us in the Word of God, and when our brother was giving the message the other day about sitting still, we see Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus, and what a wonderful thing that was. We know that Mary perhaps was cumbered with much serving. We know that service has its place, but we're reminded too that above service we have worship. But it's nice, I don't want to be too hard on Mary. The Lord certainly wasn't, because we have a lovely statement given in verse 5. It says, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Well, there was something miraculous that took place in the home of Mary and Martha. Lazarus died. Yes, there was concern, but there was also an opportunity for the Lord to show or display his power and his compassion. We know that the Lord could have been present there and prevented the death of Lazarus, but the Lord allowed Lazarus to pass through the article of death. We have some touching words here, and I know our brethren here in Aberdeen have gone through considerable sorrow within the last month or so. We read in verse 35, it says, Jesus wept. In verse 36, then said the Jews, behold how he loved him. In closing, I have a little piece of poetry that I would like to read. It says, we know him as we could not know through heaven's golden years. We there shall see his glorious face, but Mary saw his tears. The touch that healed the broken heart is never felt above. His angels know his blessedness. His children know his love.